to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. This portion of the show brought to you by NB Elite Realty. Now, Nebo Bandovic is the former leading scorer for the Houston Hotshots. He wants to invite you to start your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. He finished his soccer career, went on to build a real estate investing empire with a multi-million dollar portfolio, and he wants to teach you how to do the same. Follow Nebo at Nebo Bandovic on Instagram for daily investment tips, secrets, and more information on how to be mentored by the master himself through his VIP program. At Nebo Bandovic, N-E-B-O-B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C, on Instagram. All right, general manager and sporting director of LAFC, is a former player himself. In fact, was a youth player at Manchester United. John Thorington joins us now.
We were hoping to get this very special guest on, and this came off very quickly. We have John Thorington, the general manager of LAFC, and he joins us now from Florida. John, thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty lucky to get a guy like you on at the click of a finger here. So I guess the first thing is how important is this for LAFC tomorrow? How important is this for Major League Soccer to get over the hurdle here in this final game?
Yeah, Glenn, look, it's massive for us as a club, for us as a league, as the representative, the last representative of MLS to be in a big final against a big club. It's a great achievement thus far, but it's not quite enough just yet. We still want to go out, perform like we have done in these last couple games, and bring home a trophy to MLS and certainly to LA. So it would be difficult for me to overstate the importance of this game and the value we put on it as a club.
When I see guys like you thrive, guys that have had excellent playing careers, but then take very seriously, you know, a different level of the game. You're a talent assessor. You're a guy that's piecing things together. You went and got an advanced degree. All of this stuff is really, really impressive to me. And I got to think you picked up lessons along the way in very differing ways, even all the way back to your time as a youth player at Manchester United.
Yeah, that's certainly true. I appreciate your overly flattering words there. And yeah, certainly it's true. I think we're all product of our experiences and backgrounds and what have you. And I was fortunate enough through playing days and since playing to play for or play alongside some great players, some great coaches, some great managers. And I'm doing my best to pick up those lessons. And, you know, ultimately we all have to be ourselves and be genuine to who we are, but certainly was blessed to have had the opportunity to learn from coaching greats and be alongside some great players and great friends that I tried to pick up some pieces along the way and do my best to represent this club well and do so to the best of my ability.
John Thorington joining us, general manager of LAFC. Going into this tomorrow, you just come from training. Maybe you can give us a little bit of the mood around the players and everything. It's a very quick turnaround. It's a very quick tournament. Maybe you can take us into that maybe a little bit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we had a disappointing end to the season once our season was cut short for our standards in Seattle a number of weeks ago. And what I have been so impressed with is to be candid, was not sure what type of response we would get from the players, from the staff, looking ahead to what obviously are these important games and knowing the task in front of us of playing Cruz Azul at that time and taking it a step at a time. But what was very clear from day one, once these players got back on the field and trained and the staff and everybody came together in a really strong way, and you could see the focus and the determination that we were not going to go through the motions in training and that guys were taking this as seriously as they should, with that's often difficult when you're dealing with the emotions of just a really tough year, a disappointing end of the season. But we've managed to channel all that in a positive way. The guys have come together. As I say, the staff have done just a fantastic job of getting the guys, putting them in the right spots to be successful, and the players have done the rest. And as I say, it's been two great performances thus far. It's an incredible achievement to beat two great teams in Cruz Azul and Club America, but our objective has not yet been met, and that is what I hope we will be celebrating tomorrow night.
John Thorington, head of soccer operations, general manager of LAFC, who's had just this amazing run here in the CONCACAF Champions League, knocking off León, Cruz Azul, Club America. All three of these were comebacks. When you look at, and everybody looks at some of the signings you made, I mean, obviously you brought in Bob Bradley, masterstroke. You brought in Carlos Vela. These are things you only have one time to get correct, especially when you're an expansion team. I mean, you hit these out of the park. How much pressure did you feel making these moves and these hires, John?
Yeah, certainly there is pressure and pressure that you welcome because it means these are meaningful decisions, and I certainly embrace that. And I think you raised a few of them, the key decisions that we did get right as a club. And all I can say is, that's one thing that I will consistently be bold enough to brag about, is that I do think we hired well. And I think Bob, his staff, everything from Bob and the coaching staff to the equipment staff, the performance staff, the medical staff, our scouts, it's a very collaborative process. So I want to be clear not to take too much credit for these hires, these decisions, and the success that we have had to date. And as I say, I don't want to get carried away with success yet. We're still one step away from our ultimate objective here. But yeah, you know, you do get certain decisions that you have to make right that sets the trajectory of the organization. And owners knew that, I knew that, and we spent a lot of time and diligence in seeking out the right people and the right players to lay this foundation. And we do feel like we've gotten more right than wrong, and it's not been perfect. It's been up, it's been down. This year has certainly been one of some travails that we you know, 2020 is not what we planned for, and therefore I guess it's somewhat logical did not go quite according to plan. But you know, here we are, one step away from a big title, and one that we set out as a club from day one to say we want to be a club that makes some noise in the global game, and we have a great opportunity to do so tomorrow night.
Well, Major League Soccer, everybody's behind you. We'll all be tuning in tomorrow night, John. John, thank you so much for jumping on. This is a nice, special little interview we got here with you from Florida. And again, best of luck against Tigres tomorrow night, and again, thank you for coming on.
Of course, Glenn, and I will just say we feel that support of the league. The number of messages I've received from other clubs wishing us well, and then certainly it's a shame that we are doing this without our supporters in LA, but certainly want everybody to know that we feel that support and we greatly appreciate it and are confident it'll spur us on to victory tomorrow night.
Thank you, John. Best of luck tomorrow.
Okay, Glenn.
Stay with us on Soccer Matters, LAFC and Tigres later on tonight with an opportunity to go to Qatar and the Club World Cup presented by FIFA. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Before we go to break here, though, just a big reminder, Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, that's where I've gotten my cars for a number of years now. I've leased. The one thing that's amazing down there is the customer service. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Remember that, in Midtown. Go down there, say hello to my good friends, Justin and Steven. I've got an X5. I love it. I took it all the way to New Jersey to see my parents. 23-hour drive. It was incredible. I got to see the States all in the luxury of an amazing X5 vehicle and absolutely love it. Dependable, smooth ride, safe, all the things you want in a car. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there. They'll take you right through sales, all the way into your customer service and all the things that you need to keep your vehicle in shape. Advantage BMW Midtown. Stay with us. More to come. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are the presenting sponsors of this show here in Houston, also our Austin version on the Horn up in ATX. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, if you get in an accident, you might get in a car, boat, motorcycle, drive an 18-wheeler, maybe you work in a refinery, maybe you work construction, you get in an accident, you call the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm is going to bring you a personalized approach. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. They'll give you the representation you need. You get it with the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com in Houston, 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. And in Austin, it's DaspitLawAustin.com. All right, CONCACAF. It's all on our minds tonight. It's Tigres, LAFC, three times Major League Soccer in this version of the CONCACAF Champions League has gotten to a final. Three times have been denied. What this could mean to Major League Soccer is big. And you got to think MLS is supporting tonight LAFC. Everybody is behind them, because if LAFC gets to the Club World Cup in Qatar, they will have the opportunity to play a team like a Liverpool, a massive club. It brings a lot of attention not only to their franchise, but also to the league. So everybody tonight behind LAFC, as far as I know. All right, next guest, he has done a lot of coverage of CONCACAF, does a great job. He's John Arnold. He joins us now. John Arnold, who is an expert on the CONCACAF region of the world, joins us now. John, how are you?
I'm good. Excited to be talking about this tournament that we didn't know if we were going to get finished or not. It's kind of culminating in a very exciting way, so looking forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, tomorrow night's going to be incredible, John. Just put it in perspective. We just had on John Thorington, the general manager of LAFC. Just put it into perspective what this can mean to our league. Because, you know, we all kind of come together when an MLS team gets to a final of the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, I've said for a long time, and I'll continue saying it, that MLS, to be competitive with Liga MX, and to be the best league in the region, which is a goal that it's set for itself, and I think a good goal, it needs to win this tournament, the CONCACAF Champions League, our most important club competition, not just once. It needs to win it consistently. But to win it consistently, you do have to win it once, right? You have to start somewhere, and I think that this is a good opportunity to do that. You have a team like LAFC that really does kind of carry the flag of what MLS wants to be about in the modern era. You have this team that kind of came together quickly, but yet has really resonated with its community off the field, and on the field plays a beautiful style of soccer with recognizable star names, and it's just a lot of fun to watch. You know, I think some of their deficiencies are at the back, and that makes for better enjoyment, better viewing experience, because they're giving up a lot of goals sometimes, but they're also scoring a lot, and it's a lot of fun. So I think, you know, this is an important step for MLS. Even if LAFC loses, it's still good that the teams are competing as well as they are, that LAFC beat three Mexican teams on the way to this point. But obviously, if an MLS team could finally lift this trophy, I think that sort of rivalry only grows, and MLS's stature only grows. And again, I think it's about consistency, but you got to do it once to do it consistently. So maybe it starts tomorrow.
Well, and I think in order to get the full benefit out of beating teams like León, Cruz Azul, and Club America, all three in comebacks, we remind people, which is pretty amazing, with 10 men in the last game. I mean, to get full value out of that, you got to seal the deal. You got to get to Qatar. You got to get a game against Liverpool or, a big name club team on a big stage. To your point on the defensive side of things, is this kind of a testament to LAFC that they go out and get Jesus Murillo and solidify things at the back? Because I think we all could see from the outside they had some real struggles in central defense.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, then the fact that they've had to come from behind, I mean, yeah, this is, you know, you're talking about a team that's gutsy. You're talking about a team that is, you know, able to cope with things that when things go wrong, right? You know, last game in that semifinal, if people watched it, if not, you missed out. But, you know, things really went wrong for LAFC. They were down a goal early, which is not good against an America team that really had struggled to put together much in the attack in the last month and a half because of injuries and various absences. And then they went down to 10 men on a sort of farcical red card that Guillermo Ochoa, the America goalkeeper, was able to draw. So things didn't look good, but they didn't let it stop them. They didn't complain about the refereeing. Well, they did do that a little bit, but, you know, it didn't affect their game, right? They kept playing in the same way, even down a man. Carlos Vela took his star turn, scores two goals, and they're through, right? So I think all of that is a testament to this club and what they can do. And sort of, look, like, yeah, eventually you do have to paper over those deficiencies, right? So eventually you got to do something. So, you know, it'll be tested again. Andre Pierre-Jignac is apparently carrying a knock. He missed training today for Tigres. Hopefully he can play just for the spirit of competition and the kind of personality that he brings and the sort of orbit, I guess, that he has around him is just this big star and a huge personality. I think it'd be fun to watch, you know, Vela versus Tigres back line and Gignac versus LAFC's back line. But, you know, Glenn, to your question, I think, you know, when you can do something, you kind of have to do it. So absolutely credit to LAFC for kind of recognizing some of the weaknesses and getting past them in a lot of ways.
One of my favorite writers, John Arnold, it's at Arnold, John, J-O-N. Why does CONCACAF not use VAR? Because, look, as a former professional soccer player, I know the minute VAR is not there. All these players know it. Their coaches know it. They talk about it. And there are things you can do without the knowledge of VAR being instituted in this game, a la Memo Ochoa, who got out to West to sent off, which it's just farcical. By the way, spirit of competition. I'm not sure Memo gets big points on that, although I do love him as a goalkeeper. But why no VAR in CONCACAF?
Yeah, the thing is that it will be there eventually. CONCACAF.
No, but why is it not there now? Because it hurt the tournament the other night.
No, you're right. You're right. Here's why it's not there now.
I don't care what happens in the future. They already blew it in this tournament. And I'm going to say the only thing, John, I can come up with, and I know you know CONCACAF a lot better than me when it comes to some of the details of these things. All I can come up with is cost and finances.
Nah, the referees at CONCACAF obviously come from, you know, in this region we have sort of three sub-regions. We have the North America, the Central America, and the Caribbean. The FIFA referees that are coming out of the Central American and Caribbean region, most of them haven't used VAR. Most of them haven't used them. So that's what CONCACAF will tell you, is that we wanted to take the time to implement this and make sure that our referees actually understand what's happening. They don't want a scenario in which you have a Costa Rican referee, like you did, who doesn't necessarily use VAR or VAR in the domestic game, and then all of a sudden he says, oh, I don't know what's going on. Now, I talked to referees last year at the Gold Cup, and I said, does that kind of carry water? Is that how you feel personally? And they kind of said, you know what, we just want it to be consistent because I'm having to remember, do I have this technology? Do I need to be listening to someone in my ear? You know, so I think the sooner the better. And I understand, you know, why fans and, you know, can be upset that there wasn't maybe VAR added to this tournament when it became clear it was going to be at one site. But at the same time, that is consistently what CONCACAF has said. Hey, we're going to add this in the future. We want to make sure referees are trained up. And, you know, take it or don't. But I think that's what CONCACAF will stick with as their sort of answer for why they haven't utilized technology that really everyone else in the world is using.
Yeah, I would just say they got to accelerate the process because any player that knows it's not there is thinking of ways to bend and push the rules to the limit. It's just natural. Eduard Atuesta, and I know we've heard that it's not likely this is going to get overturned. Is that still what you're hearing as well, John?
Yeah, basically, CONCACAF's ruling was essentially, hey, there's actually no appeal process. Kind of any decision that happens on the field is final. That's how the tournament regulations are written up. I will say, like, I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame we missed the final for sure. But I do understand CONCACAF saying these are the tournament regulations. We're going to abide by them and not change them mid-tournament or change them to make it possible for a player to play in the final. You know, if you're Tigres, you'd be pretty frustrated if all of a sudden a guy that you're not game planning for pops up available. I do get it, right? But I do think it's certainly a time to take a look at some of those tournament regulations. And look, the increased scrutiny is only going to make the competition better. People like us in the press and fans who are tweeting and writing in and everything saying, why is there no VAR at this tournament? Why can Letuesta's, you know, red card not be reviewed and rescinded? I think the pressure only makes things better. And I think we should expect that to change in the future. It certainly seems like it's time for a long look at the tournament regulation.
John, what about this crazy dance with Miguel Herrera? I mean, obviously this was sportsmanship at its worst. How is the guy allowed to stay in the stadium and not be told by CONCACAF that you have been sent off? That means you can't stay in the stadium. And then the guy sits in the crowd with a walkie-talkie. And honestly, they're not doing themselves any favor by not sticking to the rules.
No, absolutely. I mean, I do wonder if it was simply kind of not wanting to, like, make a scene and physically remove a guy. I mean, Herrera has, you know, gotten into some physical altercations before that cost him his job as the coach of the Mexico national team. That was after he won the Gold Cup, remember, in the Philadelphia airport as they were leaving to head home to celebrate a tournament, getting in an altercation with a commentator. And while CONCACAF did issue a suspension, you know, as you said, he was able to kind of stay there and walkie-talkie down. Ultimately, it does seem to have cost him his job, that and the combination of results, you know, losing to LAFC and losing to Chivas in the Liga MX playoffs in Liguilla, means that America says, nah, no more Miguel Herrera. But they also mentioned in the statement today that they released, letting everyone know that they were firing him, essentially. They mentioned his behavior on the field. They said it wasn't up to what the institution, the club, a club as big and important as America, expects. So I do wonder if, you know, the result doesn't go a different way, but Herrera is escorted out or allows himself to be escorted out. If we're looking at an America that still employs Miguel Herrera, it's an interesting question. I don't know the answer, but sort of an interesting side note. I can't speak honestly to what went down in Orlando or why should have. I mean, he shouldn't be there, and he certainly shouldn't acquire a walkie-talkie, right? But
I mean, that's a competitive edge if we're talking about competitive edge. And the other thing is, okay, so the next coach that gets sent off, he's going to walk up in the stands and go, hey, somebody get me a walkie-talkie because Miguel Herrera was allowed to do it. Why can't I? I mean, the precedent and the message it sends, it just sends that we are not strong and we're not sticking to our policies and rules as a confederation when it comes to the CONCACAF Champions League. I mean, that's the thing I think that confuses people.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think, Herrera not leaving, I think, was pretty bizarre because at first it kind of seemed like confusion. Okay, the stadium's empty. It may be, you know, maybe I can sit here in row three and nothing happened. And then it's like, okay, no, they asked him to leave and he kind of ducked into a suite. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe that's allowed. You know, we have seen suspended, even in the Gold Cup, like when a manager is suspended, they're allowed to be in the suite. But then you're talking about an NFL stadium where, you know, there's 60,000 screaming fans and no way to get a message down. We're not given a walkie-talkie. So I don't know how that came about. Hopefully someone will write one day the great history behind how Miguel Herrera acquired a walkie-talkie. Did he have a backup plan? Did he know that could happen? Did he slip it into the suite before the game? I don't think we'll ever know. But it would be a great story if we can get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, no question about it. You do great coverage, John. I thank you so much for coming on. Let's get you on again real soon. Maybe to follow up on this final after we watch it tomorrow. John Arnold, just remind everybody where you are, John, and where they can find you. I gave them your Twitter handle, @Arnold, John, J-O-N. What else, where else can they find you?
Yeah, I've got a newsletter in the CONCACAF region called Get CONCACAF. You can Google Get CONCACAF with my name. And I always say, if you get the joke, the newsletter's for you. So hopefully people will enjoy learning more about our region and kind of chopping it up a little bit. Looking forward to the final. Thanks for having me on, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Hey, by the way, I get it right into my email. So that's a beautiful thing. I can just click on it and read your article. It comes to me. So thank you for that. It's @Arnold, John. He does a great job of covering the CONCACAF Champions League and the CONCACAF region. And we will be watching Tigres and LAFC tomorrow. It is a big moment for Major League Soccer. Also some pressure on Tuca Ferretti and Tigres as well to get to Qatar and the Club World Cup. John, thanks again for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Stay with us on Soccer Matters, LAFC and Tigres later on tonight with an opportunity to go to Qatar and the Club World Cup presented by FIFA. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Before we go to break here, though, just a big reminder, Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, that's where I've gotten my cars for a number of years now. I've leased. The one thing that's amazing down there is the customer service. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Remember that, in Midtown. Go down there, say hello to my good friends, Justin and Steven. I've got an X5. I love it. I took it all the way to New Jersey to see my parents. 23-hour drive. It was incredible. I got to see the States all in the luxury of an amazing X5 vehicle and absolutely love it. Dependable, smooth ride, safe, all the things you want in a car. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there. They'll take you right through sales, all the way into your customer service and all the things that you need to keep your vehicle in shape. Advantage BMW Midtown. Stay with us. More to come. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, we're anticipating the CONCACAF Champions League final between Tigres and LAFC coming up. Final segment of the night tonight, and this will be a good one, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're putting soccer on the airwaves. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. And right now we bring in the newest signing to the Houston Dynamo. He is Fafa Pico. Fafa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's first get into, it's probably a pretty hectic time for you right now, getting moved. And take us into a little bit of that when it comes to the professional athlete and moving to a new club.
No, it's always difficult. The good thing is that I'm still early on into off season, so I bought my house in Dallas, so now I have to find out renting it out or selling it, and then getting my stuff over to Houston, finding a place in Houston first before I have my stuff shipped over. So those are the details of it, but we'll get through it in no time and be ready to play ball.
Let me ask you a question: did this catch you by surprise, the move to Houston, or you know how did that work? Because it's always interesting to hear what athletes say when they're obviously coveted by another team and a deal is made.
Yes, a bit. I got a call from Andre, the director of Dallas, the night before it became official, and he told me I actually missed the call, and when I saw it was him, I told my mom I'm probably getting traded. So I ran up to the room and I called him back and he gave me the news. And obviously, it's bittersweet when you switch clubs. You're leaving your teammates behind, a city that you began to call home. You know, you made some friends or you have your little spots in the city. But at the same time, it was sweet knowing that I was coming to Houston, going to play for TAB and knowing about the club a bit and what the city is and everything about it. So it was definitely sweet in that sense. And I immediately started getting ready in my mind to head over. So it's a quick transition. Like I said, still got to say my goodbyes to people in Dallas once I get over there to start getting my stuff over. But I'm fully ready to be at Houston and join the club, and I'm really excited about it.
Now, you told your mother, and we're talking to Fafa Pico, that you thought you might be getting traded. Did you have any sense that this might have happened prior?
Not really, but when your director calls you on an evening – in off season, you're kind of, you don't expect anything else. I mean, we had a great relationship as well, so it could have been just to check on how I'm doing in off season and check on my family. But I didn't think it was going to be that at that point, especially around the time that he was calling. It was deep enough in the evening where I had never spoken to him at that time, so I figured it was that. But like I said, it's bittersweet, and now I've gotten over the bitter and just pretty much sweet about it and excited to join.
Is the final conversation with Luchi Gonzalez, is it a good one, their head coach? Is it, hey, I don't know why you're doing this. I mean, it's an emotional time, obviously, because you've done some great things for Dallas.
Yeah, definitely. I realize in this, it's a business. Football is a business, and now more so than ever. So I don't take anything personally. You know, I did everything I could at the club day in and day out. As a player, I did everything that I could to help the team. So I don't take it any way personally. I wish the next player they bring in luck or the best, obviously. And I wish myself luck and the best going into a new club. You know, it's like that players move clubs, and I think more so now than before in football. We have it a little bit more common. So the last conversation was very positive. It was very it was just a respectful goodbye. And even more so, see you in the future. And you never know in football who will be where and what I do after football. So everything stays positive.
Fafa, let me just take you into and by the way, you've had a lot of really interesting experiences in your career, NASL, then you went to the Czech Republic. How do you first get moved overseas? Where did that occur, and how did that happen? Because I think a lot of fans here in the United States, you know, they all of a sudden see a player over in Europe, and they wonder how it happened. Did an agent see him? Was it one game on one day? You know, what was it that caught the eye of somebody in Europe to bring Fafa Pico over there? Obviously, we know you're a talented player.
So we had an academy of Cagliari that started in 2006, I believe it was. Once the World Cup had finished, Cagliari brought an academy over through our ex-president Massimo Cellino, and they brought a few of us over to try out with the team in Italy. I think it was four of us. And one game in a friendly, I had, I believe, two or three goals. And it was during their preseason with the reserve team. And Cellino came over after. I already had a good relationship with him, but he came over after and asked me if I wanted to stay in Italy. I was like, of course. I was 16 at the time. Especially in that time, Serie A was the biggest league in Europe. A lot of the biggest players were there. And it was a no-brainer for me. Obviously, convincing my mother was difficult, but that's why I have my dad. So he did his job to smoothen her out and soften her up about the idea. And she eventually just made me promise that if I kept the high grades through my school in Miami while being abroad, that I would be able to stay. But at any point that my GPA dropped under a certain level, I would have to come back. So that was our deal. And I jumped over and I was very excited about it.
So you're in Europe, you're training as a youth player in Italy, Czech Republic, and then in Bundesliga too, you got a lot of games with St. Pauli. Just talk about the whole European experience and the challenges it poses in relation to a young player trying to make it in Major League Soccer.
No, I think it's very competitive, obviously. More so you have to deal with the day-to-day life. You're kind of a combo of football, basketball, baseball, all in one. So your popularity is very high. Obviously, in that time, I'm saying only 12, 13 years ago, but we didn't have the social media and Instagram access. So when people saw you on the street, it was a different situation. People would approach you, even at a young age. So it's a different, it's definitely different. But you adapt quickly as a young player, and you become used to it. And I think the day-to-day life, especially being a foreigner in that time, being an American in Italy and in Europe was not popular, especially in Italy. So, you know, the thing that people are used to saying over there about American players or the stigmas we had in that time, I think now it's changed a bit. But definitely back then it was just that Americans only knew how to play football or basketball. And you just had to show that you were above that, and you had to work 10 times as hard. I think now it's much easier for young American players to jump the pond and go play in Europe and have success. But what young players had to deal with back then, and guys even before me even more, had to deal with back then, it was very difficult. But I'm thankful for it because it made me become a man much younger on, and eventually made me who I am today.
So you go into locker rooms. We're talking to Fafa Pico of the Houston Dynamo, the attacker that's been signed. You go into a locker room and you got guys looking at you going, this guy's not taking my job. I mean, it's every, you know, we love to say we got a great locker room here in America. Well, I sometimes I think it's not as great as everybody says it is, because it has to be respectful, but
people are trying to get to the top of the pinnacle. People want to be a starter. Sure. You may be great friends with this guy, but you want to be a starter. And I would imagine your experiences over there, they looked at you as a threat to their job.
For sure. Especially as a foreigner, they say, why is this guy coming from another continent to come take my food over here? So it's difficult because you don't know anybody. At the same time, you want to be friendly, but you have to be kind of tough and just be a, you want to jump in the group. At the same time, you want to separate yourself as who you are. So there's a strong balance and you have to stay concentrated almost 24/7. I know a lot of people say they work 9 to 5, but soccer is a 24/7 job and you don't have time to lose or to make any error. So we're constantly thinking. You're always on your toes. You don't know if you can trust this guy in the locker room. Is this guy really doing this? Is he going to report what I just said back to the coach? Is he a spy? There's a lot that goes on, especially in certain clubs and in Europe. So it's not always friendly. And then you meet amazing people who become your brothers for life. So you have to find that balance and see who you can trust. And once you do and you feel at ease with the group, you have much more success, I believe.
New Houston Dynamo signing, Fafa Pico joining us, attacking player, loves to take people on. Where did that desire come in taking people on? Who lit that fire under you, or did that just something that came naturally, beating people off the dribble and making these real knifing, strong, powerful runs behind defenses?
Well, I grew up, I mean, just by nature, I grew up in Harlem and Miami. So it's two big cities where you're constantly trying to show who you are and trying to prove yourself. You could get lost in a city and people don't remember you. So you always want to prove that you can be somebody. In the soccer aspect or the sport aspect, I'd say just physically, my attributes are that. And obviously I always want to bring that to the table. And you know, you always have guys that want to try to be that guy that kept up with you. So I constantly want to put them back down and let them remember who they are and who I am at the same time. So. It's an interesting game. It's a game of deception, and that's why this game is beautiful. You have slow guys that are amazing players. You have fast guys that are amazing players, and vice versa that are also bad. So, you have to use your attributes and know when to use them because timing in this game is everything. So, definitely, it comes from a long background, but also from a lot of hustle. And I grew up around a lot of NFL guys and big players that went on and did things in other sports. So. I always showed my physical attributes around them, but also brought it back to soccer. I would say that's where it comes from, and I want to continue bringing that.
So let's talk about, and I always find it fascinating because the wide game is so important in modern soccer now, whether it's outside backs, you have to have a relationship with an outside back.
Yeah.
And I think of your movements and the things you do. How much of your movements, certainly we know a lot of it's to create space for others, but also how much of your movement is about setting up the guy that's marking you? I mean, maybe you come short a couple times and start sucking him in and then spin off him. Just talk about a little bit of that cat and mouse game that goes on with a guy that's marking you and how you're trying to get behind him and do damage.
Yeah, I think it's important to break down their confidence early on in the game. And at the same time, not let them break you. You know, you make that one sprint on the guy and he can't keep up. He might mark you a bit differently. He might mark a little deeper. Now you're giving space to other players. And it may not seem like you're doing a lot, but now you're doing different stuff for different players. Maybe you sit a bit and you don't sprint and take off right away. And now he's like, okay, I can stay close to this player. And then you take that moment and you take off behind him. He's like, oh, this guy has that too. So you wanna mix in different components and kind of play a mind game with them and use different attributes to be able to suck them in, like you said before. And sometimes, like I said before, it doesn't show, but you're making space for other players. Maybe you're finding a pocket and opening for another player that's fast. Maybe you're making a long run just to open up space for your striker so he could come in and bring the ball, or your 10. So there's a lot of different things that come into it. The left back may overlap. Maybe give him that chance. And now the right back's unsure who's going to overlap, who's going to make the long run. And that's what makes this game so beautiful. The fact that football's fluid, I think it's the most beautiful sport in the world because of that. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know everything's interchanging. And that's what makes it like a band, a music band. If you listen to salsa, there's so many instruments being played. And I think it's very similar to football where you have one guy doing this, one guy doing that, and you can change things up. and create a rhythm in a game and mess up your opponent.
Fafa Pico joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, also NB Elite Realty and Nebo Bandovic. What were Tab Ramos's words to you when he spoke to you about what the project is here in Houston and how you fit in?
No, definitely optimistic. I think we're on the same page football-wise and life-wise. So I'm very excited. I think we spoke about a few things, but definitely about what I can bring with my speed and creativity to the team and the other players that we have and how we can interchange and make this a very good team. So definitely it's going to be, you know, there's going to be good and bad moments, especially early on in preseason. We're going to figure it out. And I think we have a very, very special thing going on, and it's only going to progress into something even greater.
And you know his big belief in the 4-3-3 and an aggressive system and being protagonists and going after other teams. I would think that's something that makes you very excited.
Oh, definitely. I like that mentality. I don't like to sit back and just let teams take it to me. I like to go at them and go at them and continue to do that. So I think that's why I said our mentalities match, and I'm really excited about joining him and doing everything I can to be on the same page and execute what he wants.
All right. So you have a Haitian background, and I know you're a big food guy. You're a big cuisine guy. And I saw you mention in an article something about plantains, and I'm saying, is that the new superfood, plantains?
It's amazing. So I can't go 2 days without it. My mom's always made it since I was young. I love that. I make it. You have two ones. They have the maduro and tostones. So the sweet one is the maduro. Tostones is saltier and more crispy. Depends on the day what I'm feeling. But I always have like a set of seven in my house. Obviously, when we go on long travels, sometimes they spoil, so I have to throw them out. But I make sure there's always plátano in the house and plantain in the house. And that's the only thing I do not mind cooking myself. But for sure, that's a big part of my diet.
Well, by the way, you're not going to have a hard time finding them in Houston. That's,
I heard.
That's for sure. Might have been harder in Dallas, not in Houston.
for sure.
Well, Fafa, thank you so much. Wishing you the best over the holidays. Really looking forward to seeing you play here in Houston. And thank you for, I know it's busy, you're moving, you got a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, but to take some time for us and more importantly for the listeners, we really do appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you, and thank you for having me.
All right, we'll do it again. Fafa Pico.
For sure, my man.
Now with the Houston Dynamo, another attacking element added. Yes, the man can fly, but he's a soccer player as well. Don't forget about that. That'll do it for tonight. A big thank you, as always, to Aaron Raybould, Victor Ariza, Twitter. You can hit me up there, Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook Soccer Matters, podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, and podcastarena.com. On behalf of the firm, happy holidays.
ESPN 97.5.